change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy to be speaking today with Bill High. Did I get that right, Bill?
You did. Very good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Bill is the executive chairman and founder of The Signatory. Bill, what is The Signatory?
The Signatory is one of the 1,500 or so donor-advised fund organizations across the country. So we've been in this space for the last 21 years doing this kind of work.
Donor-advised, what did you call it again? A donor-advised fund?
Donor-advised fund. You got it.
Got it. So donors we can edit this out later if necessary, but donors are sending their funds to you and then you send them on to various nonprofits depending upon their wishes. Is that how it works?
Yeah, donor advised fund, the way we describe it is, for simplicity terms, use the metaphor, donor advised fund is like a bank, except it's a charitable bank. So Mickey, you come in, go online, open up an account, put money in, take a tax deduction, and then you log in, username, password, and say, man, I want to distribute to this charity, and then the money goes out to that charity. So that's how it works. It's pretty simple. It's the simplest, easiest form of giving in the country next to writing a check or doing a credit card gift or some kind of online version.
I mean, there's two ways to approach this conversation, right? One from the perspective of the donor and one from the perspective of the nonprofit or the charity. Which would you suggest we go first?
Well, I think it's important that you start from the perspective of the donor because that's what helps the charity understand how this works. Mm-hmm. So from the perspective of the donor, the reason why the donor advised fund space has grown, I mentioned this to you before we got on, but even since 2011, there were only about 100,000 donor advised fund accounts in the country. And today, there are more than 800,000 donor advised fund accounts. So the industry has just mushroomed, and it represents about $150 billion in assets and vast amount of money going in and a vast amount of money going out. By the way, comparison to private foundations, there's only 80,000 private foundations in the country. Now, they, by the way, hold trillions of dollars of assets. So if you take a look at Bill Gates and et cetera, et cetera. But bottom line, donors use donor advised funds primarily for one thing. It's because they're simple. You create the account, you got a tax deduction, you can do all your giving through the account, and you get one tax receipt.
So let me ask you just a purely logistical question. You said it's essentially a bank. How do you set that up? If I wanted to make one for myself and do I register with the IRS? How do I do that?
No, the 501c3, the nonprofit status is granted in this case to the signatory. So we are the 501c3. All you do is you go online, Mickey, to our website and you say, you hit click, open a fund, fill out some basic information, decide how you want to contribute, and presto, you have an account.
Got it.
And then every month, however you do your giving, every week, you drop money into that account, you get the immediate tax deduction, and then you start making a list. You can actually set up the grants that you want to go out, whether it's monthly, weekly, quarterly, and you can do these as recurring gifts. So that's how it works.
Pretty straightforward.
Yep. One of the things that, since we are talking about nonprofits, the thing that nonprofits need to understand is that sometimes donor advised funds get accused of shrouding the money, you know, hiding the money. But the truth is that it's like 98% of all giving out of donor advised funds is completely known. There's actually only a very small percentage of these gifts that come out as anonymous gifts. So usually if you're getting money from a donor advised fund, you know who the people are.
Right.
So your challenge is just make sure you go out and build those relationships with those people who are given to you from a donor advised fund.
Right. So that's the challenge for the nonprofit. You still have to maintain some element of stewardship with the people who are putting their money into their donor advised fund before the fund itself gives the money to the nonprofit.
Yep. Treat a donor advised fund donor just the same as you would any other donor, any other major donor. the main thing you need to realize that in a with working with a donor who has a donor advised fund is that they've at least achieved some level of sophistication and that they understand what the tool is. And your conversation, and this is again where we're trying to help the nonprofit, is, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Donor, have you considered giving publicly traded stock? And that's a great tool to use with a donor advised fund. The other thing that you want to do as the nonprofit leader is also then ask some of the related questions, which is, by the way, do you have real estate? You can actually give real estate to a donor advised fund. You can give ownership interests in things like business interests, LLCs, even collectibles. We've been on the phone recently with somebody looking at donating art. So the point is, a donor advised fund expands the scope of what a donor can give, and they may initially make the gift to the donor advised fund before they make the gift to the nonprofit.
From the nonprofit's perspective, how do I make myself known to a donor using this channel?
Well, again, you need to come back to the first premise, which is most of the people who are giving to you from a donor advised fund, you already know them. They're not actually choosing to be anonymous. So we get that question every week, it seems like, where it's like, hey, how can I get known by more of your donors? Well, the first way is to go meet with your donors who have donor advised funds and then ask them who else might have a donor advised fund that they can go talk to. So at one other aside, Mickey, here, this is actually really important. A lot of nonprofit leaders don't believe me on this, but I say to them, you should have your own donor advised fund because it's the classic, the plumber with leaky pipes. Because if you don't ever use the tool, it's hard for you to have the conversation. So when you go in and you sit down with a donor and say, hey, by the way, I do my giving through a donor advised fund, you can relate immediately to them. And it gives you a basis to actually talk about some of the tool and other ways that you can give.
But Bill, I'm not a wealthy person. How do I get aligned? How do I create an old fund, even if I can only put $20 a week into it or something? You know, you see where I'm going with my sarcasm?
Well, the beauty of it, of a donor advised fund, in our case, Mickey, we don't have any monthly minimums. My son graduated from college at 22, and one of the first things he did was create a donor advised fund. Now, I didn't ask him to. He just did that on his own. And at 22, he didn't come out making the biggest salary. I could tell you what it is, but he wouldn't want me to. But it wasn't a lot of money. But he just knew that the idea of using a donor advised fund was simple. And so that's why he did it.
So anybody could do it, and you don't need to be a wealthy person to make that happen.
No, again, even for, you know, whether it's the person that's given $100 a month to $1 million a month.
Yeah.
The point really is you can use the account and have one tax receipt at year end.
Interesting. So what else do we need to talk about in terms of we've said that anybody can do it. We've said that there's the same sort of tax advantage to creating a donor advised fund as there is to donating directly to a nonprofit. It simplifies things. It's still incumbent upon the nonprofit to maintain relationships with those donors. It sounds like a slam dunk proposition. What else do we need to tell a nonprofit about how to approach donor advised funds or how to maximize their use of them in the future?
Yeah, a couple of points that we try to talk to nonprofits about is, one, avoid this negative narrative that we're seeing out there in the space of saying donor advised funds are hoarding money. The truth is they're not. By and large, most donor advised funds are distributing more than 20% of their account. In our case, most of our donors are given 50, 60, 70%. So the donor advised funds aren't these people that have this evil mind of, I'm just sitting on the money. They actually do want to get it out. So that's why we come back to that point of building the relationship. But the second thing is really start with this vision of, man, you can actually maximize your giving by using a donor advised fund by doing these other forms of gifts. So again, you typically look at, of course, maximizing your income tax deduction. That's a big thing that we start with. And mind you, that's different from planned giving, because planned giving, somebody's got to die to make the gift and nobody volunteers to make that.
Right.
This is income tax driven giving every single year. 50% of the volume of charitable giving is often in the month of December. So with that, then make sure people also look at other forms, publicly traded stock. And the idea there of using the capital assets is the law allows people to give 30% of their income using capital assets. Now, if I ask you, Mickey, hey, how about if you give 60% of your income and you're making $100,000, not too many people say, I want to give $60,000 of cash. On the other hand, if I say, man, Mickey, let's go find an asset. And maybe you happen to own a piece of real estate that's worth $50,000. Well, we know immediately you can get 30,000 of that written off and you can carry over the next amount into the next year. And it didn't cost you any cash. And it was a house you're already going to sell or a house you didn't need. Same idea, whether it's real estate or ownership interest in a business. So the last thing I would say, the thing that nonprofit leaders really, really need to pay attention to. So they go out, they have that meeting and they say, hey, Mickey, tell us about yourself. By the way, I'm using a donor advised fund and it happens to be a business owner. The big thing with a business owner is you got to ask them, what's your plans for the business? Because if they're selling, the donor advised fund by far represents the greatest opportunity for that donor to minimize their taxes in favor of more giving. But the key is that they have to be able to give ownership interest in that business before signing a purchase agreement. By far, those are ministry changing kind of gifts, is when you get a closely held asset kind of gift, because most of those kind of gifts typically start at $1 million and up.
I'm sure there's plenty here to dig into and unpack, but we are unfortunately running out of time. If a listener wanted to be in touch with you to learn more about the Signatory and the dynamic of creating and using a fund, how would you suggest they find you?
Yeah, go to the website, thesignatory.com, signatory.com. And we got an info button, my contact there, but we got a great team of people. We got clients all throughout the country and happy to talk. We got a director of ministry services, Kristen Hammett. She can go into more detail about how we work with nonprofits. But great opportunity in this day and age to be able to not only help your donors, but grow giving to your organization.
Awesome stuff, Bill. Thank you for the work that you do, and thank you for being my guest on the podcast today.
Thanks so much.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.